Thank you for tuning in to the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. For this and other interviews, you can visit www.aaapodcast.com. My name is Mitsugi, and I'm here speaking with Jason Moody of iotasoul.com. That's iotasoul.com. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Can you briefly tell us a little about your personal background, Jason? Just to help get the listeners to, you know, get to know you a little bit better.
Absolutely. I come from more of a comic background. I actually started a few years ago with a project called Scarlet Veronica, and it was published through Ape Entertainment. And they do all the DreamWorks comic books that are out everywhere. So we kind of went to them with the project, and they really liked it, and they published a mini series for us. But I love anime, so it's always been something that I've really wanted to do. And when I was in college, we tried a couple small things for Shonen Jump. Every once in a while, would do like contests where you could send in your own story, and we'll publish it. You know, we'll pick one or two or however many and publish it. And so we tried that a few times and nothing ever came of it. But
oh, really? I'm surprised. Yeah. Because I checked out your Iota Soul work, and it's pretty skillful. So I'm surprised that you never heard back from them. Do you have any favorite manga or anime that, since you said you're a fan? Anything in particular?
You know, of recently, I know this isn't super recent, but I really like Gurren Lagann. That's a really fun anime, and they kind of, I don't know, I feel like they kind of put the mech genre on its head a little bit.
Have you seen the recent Kill la Kill that came out a couple of seasons ago?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, it's done by the same, a lot of the same staff that did Gurren Lagann, and
really?
It sort of has the same over-the-top feel to it. Except they're not using mecha. It's more of a magical girl-esque uniforms type of type of thing. So yeah, you should check it out if you like Gurren Lagann.
Yeah.
So you're here to represent your project Iota Soul, and I'm sure the people that are listening are waiting to hear about what Iota Soul is all about. So can you tell us a little bit about your project, starting with your website and how people can, you know, become more familiar with your work?
Sure, absolutely. We actually, as confusing as this may be, we actually have two websites. We have iotasoul.com, which is more of a community kind of based. It's more of like where we're going to kind of keep fans up to date on the project. We really want to be just we want the production of the first season to just be like open for fans. We're actually wanting to get fans involved, so we have a forum on the website where people, aspiring voice actors, can go on there, and we're gonna let them basically, do tests for us. And like, if they want to be a part of the project, they can kind of get their voice out there, and we'll give them small roles.
Can you confirm any names yet? Or,
I actually have a confirmation from Johnny Young Bosch, who is gonna be voicing one of the main characters. He did, for those who don't know, I'm sure everybody on your viewership knows.
Yep,
but he was the voice of Ichigo from Bleach, and he's Vash from Trigun, and so he's I've been emailing him, and he gave me a confirmation. He's excited about the project. He definitely likes the purpose and the mission behind it. So
great.
I don't know if I have Vic's last name right, but
Vic Mignogna.
Mignogna. Okay. So I've actually got a pretty strong confirmation from him as well. He seemed very excited, and he's going to work with us and provide some voice work. But
well,
on top of that,
Vic's a nice guy, so I'm not surprised that he wants to help you out with your philanthropic efforts.
Yeah.
So
But on top of that, we really want to get fans involved too, and so right next to having, you know, some pretty big names in the anime industry, we want fans, we want your viewers, you know, to get on there, your listeners, to get on there, and if they're aspiring voice actors, we're hoping to give them some exposure on the project, you know. So
Jason, can you tell us a little bit about the story of Iota Soul and what the purpose is behind the project? Like, what is your mission exactly?
Sure. And that actually goes to the other website, iotasoul.net, or no, I'm sorry, iotasoul.info. And that kind of delivers more of the information on more of our heart and our vision and our mission. And that really comes out of a place of just having a heart for abandoned children, having a heart for kids that, you know, are literally lost or invisible in this world. And that's where our subtitle comes from, Shadow Children. And there's a really great documentary a few years ago called Invisible Children that I saw and was really moved by, and have had a heart for that since then, you know, just orphans and working with orphans. And so I was contacted by a guy named Tony Bradshaw, who is actually kind of the guy who started Iota Soul. He works for Dave Ramsey out of Nashville. And he saw my work on Scarlet Veronica, and he contacted me and said, "Hey, I really like your stuff. I have this project," and he told me about it, and I was just like, "Oh, yeah," I'm like, "Dude, you're speaking right to my heart. This sounds amazing."
Yeah.
And so that was a few years ago, and we've just been slowly trying to build it up. We tried basically a web manga, just traditional. But I come from more of a real interactive media background. I was telling you before we started, I work at a company where I do a lot of interactive training.
Right.
I use a lot of Flash and HTML5 and all this stuff. And I'm just like looking at what we were trying to do. And it had, you know, we ended up having 500 to 1,000 people on our .com that were using the site and getting in the forums and chatting and wanted to see the mangas. But I just felt like there was something that we could do that would really put us on that cutting edge, really put us on that avant-garde. And I'm like, if we could combine interactive creative media with our heart and mission for our orphans, and then delivered in this kind of anime style, I just thought that we could really be onto something cool. And then it would give us the opportunity to almost deliver these comics, these mangas, more with animation and in this. And I really studied a lot of motion comics. And a lot of them I looked at, I was like, we could do that better. I could make that better. We could add in awesome voice actors, and we could make, I come from a pretty healthy animation background. I've done animation for a long time. Actual hand, you know, frame by frame animation. I love it.
Yeah,
and I've done some work for, I actually did some work for Greg Weissman a few years ago on a project that never really lifted off, but it was called Mechanation. And so I did some test animation for him, and, I told Tony, I was like, if we start incorporating full color animation and create something that feels more alive and interactive, and we can deliver ways for people to get involved creatively through the manga, like, actually, you know, if you're watching a character that you like in the story and they're appealing to you and they're gripping your heart because, you know, it's this girl who's forced into, you know, from the time she was born, she was sold into human trafficking, and
right,
and she's forced into underground Muay Thai kickboxing. And that's a real thing. If you look up a documentary called Buffalo Girls, that's real. That's happening right now. Kids are little girls. Some do it because they have to, because they can make more money entering into these underground competitions than their entire family can make in a month. They can make in one fight. Some girls are forced into it. And these are 8-year-old girls, 8, 9, 10 years old. And
wow,
so
that's really
we're
sad.
And we're taking stories like that, and then we're creating characters that represent that story, and then we can actually interactively show people who are reading the story and go, "Wow, I like B. That's one of the characters. She's our Buffalo Girl in the story. wow, I like her. I relate to her. My heart goes out to her. And then we go, boom, here's an organization you can plug into. Here's a foundation you can work with. Here's a group that's working with girls that are being sold into human trafficking in Thailand. We're going to partner you with them. And if you feel gripped, you can go and work with them. You can send your money. You can, goodness sakes, we'll show you how you can actually go and work with girls over there. That's kind of our model. That's kind of what we're trying to do.
So that sort of leads me into one of my next questions for you, and that's, in what way do you aim to support the worldwide orphans and the other causes that you have included in the story of your manga?
Right.
Is the overall goal global awareness, or do you hope to achieve enough money to donate to these causes? I think you just touched on it briefly with talking about how you can put people in touch with organizations that sort of support these causes, but just so people know how they can contribute to your causes through your manga, can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Absolutely. It's really twofold, and one goes back to what I kind of just spoke to, and it's by interactively highlighting and putting viewers and readers in contact with organizations that grip their heart. And so kind of taking some of these foundations that otherwise may not have the kind of exposure in the area that we're trying to reach, the people that we're trying to reach with what we're doing, these foundations may not have that same kind of exposure otherwise. And so what we're trying to do is take it to a brand new audience and then interactively show people and grip people and say, hey, here's how you can get involved.
Right.
And then another, the other way is, everything, we're aiming to be we don't want to sell this comic. I don't ever want to, I'm not looking to make money at all.
Right.
We're not looking to get rich. We're looking to help. And so, aside from operating costs of actually, because conventions cost money and some of that stuff, aside from some of those basic operating costs, I mean, we're going to be putting what we make in terms of the profit back in.
Okay,
and it's going to be going back to foundations and we're going to be working with organizations and we've already partnered with a few. And so that'll be all donated.
Okay.
That'll be all.
So everybody's clear, you're running a nonprofit organization where all of the proceeds beyond what you need to continue functioning are going to be donated to good causes that people can to specifically donate money to. So.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
All right, great. So that's important. So people know that that your heart is in it. So
yeah,
you have it right
there.
Well,
and even beyond that, I mean, we can't just do this project and not be involved. So we're actually internally right now setting up a mission trip. We're actually going to be going to Nuevo Laredo, which is a border city. It's one of the main hubs for drug trafficking, which has actually just absolutely just ruined that city in terms of kids and orphans, and it's an epidemic down there because of the cartels and the gang related deaths and murders. And so, that's in Mexico, but it's actually on the border of, there's a city called Laredo, Texas, and then right across the river is Nuevo Laredo, and they're basically one city, but they're split by the border. And that's actually where our story takes place. It starts out right there, and we have two characters, two brothers on the American side, and we have a brother who we're going to have Johnny Young Bosch voice. His name's Dominic. He's on the Mexico side, and so we're planning a trip, and we're going to work with an orphanage down there in October is when we're aiming. And so we don't want to just sit back and from our computers and help. We want to get our hands dirty. We want to get involved. It's hypocritical to do a project like this and then never actually go and never actually hug an orphan, never actually work with a kid and cry with a child and love on them. that's hypocritical in my eyes to sit here and do this story that tells about them but never actually know them. And I can't do that.
Right.
And so that's
so you're the real deal.
Trying to be, man. Trying we want to live above reproach, you know. We want to be authentic.
So basically you're raising money through the proceeds of the manga. And people can also donate money. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So you're little do you know, you're actually quite adept at these interviews, even though you told me you hadn't had a lot of experience with interviews, but you led me right into the next question, which was I wanted to hear, just so people get excited and get interested in your story and in your manga.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about the actual story. At this point, I sort of know what the general theme and tone of the manga is, but you just mentioned that the two main characters live in, what was the city? Nuevo Laredo, right across the border in Texas. So you've led me right into the next question. So can you tell us the story of Iota Soul without a bunch of spoilers, you know?
Okay. So. Yeah, absolutely. I'll just kind of give a little kind of opening on where it starts. It opens up on basically the Mexican border, these two towns, Laredo and Nuevo Laredo. On the Laredo side, we have these two boys who have been, you know, in and out of the foster program. In Texas, and they've just had a bad string of foster parents, and you know, as kids are, they're these 10-year-old boys who all they have is each other, and you know, it's a combination of some bad home situations, but then also them just being 10-year-old boys that don't really feel like they fit anywhere, and so the story kind of opens up with them. And we go back and forth, and this first episode is going to kind of be telling their story and then Dominic's story. Dominic is older. He's about 15, and his parents were killed in the crossfire of two cartels.
Oh man!
And so him and his younger brother basically end up going into a local mission and a children's orphanage, basically. and of course, though, Dominic ends up feeling like he needs to get revenge for the cartel that killed his parents. And so he actually joins the rival cartel, the Barrios, which Barrios are gangs that work for the cartels, basically. And his brother doesn't want him to, you know, his little brother's like, that's not the way. This is not how you fix things. This is not how you can't bring our parents back, you know?
Right.
And he says, no, the only way to get back is to join the enemy of the people who killed my parents, you know? And that's what he does. Because he does that, when he leaves, he sneaks out of the orphanage, and his brother follows him, and his brother ends up falling to the same fate that his parents do because of his choice of revenge, gets his little brother killed. And so his brother's last words to him are, do better, make a better life, help kids. You're not helping kids like us. You're hurting them by doing this kind of thing. And so he changes his life. He turns it around, and he ends up helping out at the orphanage. You know, he really just gives up the burrito life and starts helping out. And that's all told through backstory. So I'm revealing probably more than I should, but that's okay. Basically, our two other brothers, they end up leaving America. They cross the border through these little tunnels that are created by the cartels, actually. They're these underground tunnels that for drug trafficking. But at the same time, there's another thread that's going on. There's a company called Stella Orion. It's a philanthropic big company that's working on world energy, and they build all these water purification systems for countries that can't get water. But underneath it all, there's a blackness to it, and they're called Stella Orion, and they're being controlled by darker powers, if you will, and their big way to get a clean renewable energy is they discover this energy that's called the iota soul.
Oh, I see.
It's a soul energy that they discover. It comes from the other side, the ether, whatever you want to call it. And they figure out how to tap into it. And the only way that you can tap into it is through human souls, basically like batteries that charge, and they end up discovering that they can pull about, you know, 1.21 petajoules a second through, and they find out that the best battery is a child. And so they, you know, they do their dirty work, and they go and they kidnap kids from unwanted children.
See.
They go for kids that won't be missed, kids that nobody's going to notice are gone. And these are orphans. And so these kids are then taken to these facilities, experimented on, used as batteries. But there's a handful that the energy just doesn't. It doesn't go through. It doesn't work. And so they kick him back out to the curb. They throw him back out. What the company doesn't know is these kids, the reason that the energy wasn't flowing through is because their souls were actually charging up and holding the energy. And so they developed these abilities, these powers, and they're able to fight back and help other orphans. And they go to all these facilities around the world, and they take him down, and that's kind of where the story really I told you is really backstory to get into this kind of fun adventure. And along the way, we'll tell a lot of other orphan stories because these kids are compelled to help other orphans.
I'll tell you what, that is some compelling backstory, and just by that, you have surpassed 50% of all anime that are created.
Thank you, man. That's very, very nice of you.
I say that a little. That's my little underhanded jab at present day anime that just don't even bother to, you know, give characters backstory at all. They just kind of go with it. Yeah, that sounds like a really compelling story right there.
I love anime, but I'm very moved by just really well done character development. As many people hated the ending of Lost, I thought some of the character development in Lost was some of the best I've ever seen on TV. And so I like that kind of stuff. And I like, I know some people probably, you know, balk at Avatar The Last Airbender, but I think that has some of the best storytelling I've ever experienced. TV, movie, live action, whatever. I think that they superbly told character stories, and so I love that stuff, and I'm moved by it, and so that's kind of what I'm inspired by.
So let's talk about some of the more technical points of your manga. So
I
have been through your website a few times, which again, the website where I guess you can at least find the creative side of things is iotasoul.com, spelled IOTA soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting the sense that this is not your typical manga. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm kind of envisioning it as a hybrid between your classic paper manga and sort of like a visual novel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a moving manga, so to speak.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I'm calling it a motion manga, and it's going to utilize quite a bit of animation. Actually, if you go to iotasoul.info and kind of go through the little media pitch, at the end, there's a place where you can view a sample page, and we actually show B, the character B, on the ring. And it's just one of her fights. It's just real simple. We just wanted to kind of do a proof of concept of what we want to do. It's not voiceovered, so that's the only difference is the actual first issue when we release the series – which is going to launch in September. The first issue will be out. It will be voiced. We're going to have voiceovers. But you'll get a sense of there's music, there's sound effects. You can hear the city. You can hear the crowd cheering in the background. And then you can actually move her. Like you actually, as a viewer, there will be parts, not the whole thing, but there will be pieces where you can actually interact. And so there's a panel that pops up where B is on one side and a girl named Anong is on the other. She's her opponent, and you actually have to, you know, click and slide B across the ring, and she punches. You know what I mean? And so there's some interactivity and fun and animation. And so it is a different animal. We're hoping that we're creating something kind of new and innovative.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now that when I went through the iotasoul.info sample, I guess, that you have available. I went through it twice just because I wanted to punch the other girl again. No okay, joke. Cool. So I did it twice.
And I'll speak on that for a second. When we went to OhioCon back in January, it was the first time we've been to MTAC and we've been to AWA and we've been to quite a few anime conventions. But OhioCon was the first time we had the demo and people went nuts. I mean, people exactly what you said. They did it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Some of them, they just were like, let me do that again. You know, can I do it again, please? And yeah, go ahead. And we had a tablet out for people to just play with. And they loved it. They went nuts, man. And like you said, people wanted to do it over and over again because they're like, this is alive. You know, I was talking with one girl for a long time and she was just like, this has such a heart. She's like, but not only does it have heart and mission and all that stuff's great. She's like, but it's really good too. Yeah, she's like, this is fun to use and read. And I was like, that's cool. That's what we want to hear, you know?
I mean, my impression of the sample that I've got here is that, first of all, it looks incredible.
Thank you.
I'm just looking at it again, and I'm even more impressed the third time with the detail of the backgrounds. And
yeah,
I mean, you got Family Mart spot on that street view. So making me feel a little homesick for Japan, looking at Family Mart there on the side. But I mean, the detail in the drawings and the quality of the art is fantastic. And I mean, I sort of, you know, I said it was a hybrid between a visual novel and a manga, but I mean, it looks better than a visual novel. And if you know what I mean by that, it's mostly where you have like the backgrounds and some sound effects and people talk, but they don't even talk really. You have like the text that you click through. But this is like, it's almost a hybrid between a visual novel and a manga and an anime, because there's so much more movement and like effort and work put into the backgrounds, and the quality of the art is actually higher than a visual novel. So very impressive.
Thank you.
And I just punched Anon again right as we're speaking. so that's my third KO.
It feels pretty good, huh?
So this next question I've got for you is you know, just speaking about the quality of it, which I've already said is quite high. Under what kind of schedule do you expect that you'll be able to release these mangas? And how long do you think that they're going to be? I mean, if it's just you and a couple other people, I imagine that you'll be working very hard to get this such high quality work out.
Yeah. Well, luckily this isn't our first rodeo. we did Scarlet Veronica and we learned a lot. And although it wasn't a motion comic, it was a regular comic that was, you know, published, I drew it all digitally. I take that back. The first two issues I drew traditionally, literally just with like artboard and inks and pencils, and I drew it traditionally. And then I was like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way than doing this, because it just wasn't for me. And I'm by no stretch a traditionalist. I'm all about, if there's a tool that helps you do it better, I want that tool. Me and the colorist kind of got together and we just kind of brainstormed and finally I was like, look, let's just do this digitally. Let's see if we can do it from start to finish digital. I said, I don't want to ever touch paper. I said, the whole process of sketching and erasing and then inking and then scanning, I said, it's cumbersome. So said, let's try about this a different way. And so we learned a lot in that. And so iotasoul is, I do everything digital. I have a tablet, a Wacom tablet that's actually literally like it's kind of like an iPad, but it's called an Asus EP121. And it has Wacom technology built into not only the pen, but into the screen. Wacom partnered with them.
That's a shame Chiaki's not here.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be. Yeah.
My co-host Chiaki's got one of the, she's got a little Wacom that's like white, and then she's got a big one that's black that the screen is about, maybe it's like 14 by 18 inches. So maybe you know what I'm talking about. I don't know a lot about it.
I wonder if it's a companion, because Cintiq just put out something called the Wacom. Well, it's actually, it's Wacom, but it's the Cintiq companion, and it's, It's what I want. If anybody wants to help me out in that area, because I'd love one. They look awesome.
Well, hers is a couple years old, but it's bigger than my laptop screen. So I don't know. Maybe cool. Maybe you guys are using something similar.
Yeah. So in terms of producing it, we were able to get our. And Scarlet Veronica was longer. Iota Soul, we're looking to be about 15 pages, more or less. But the delivery model, you won't really notice pages. That's just more for our end to keep track of how long these are, because it's so – we're not really doing like a turning page. We really looked at like what are some conventions that just – they're just there out of traditional – out of traditionalism. And we got rid of the stuff that made a viewing – we wanted it to feel more cinematic rather than like you're reading a comic. Not that there's anything wrong with reading manga or comics, but let's utilize our, you know, most people are going to be viewing this on iPads and on the web. And so we wanted to make the experience more fluid. So anyway, we found that we could do an entire issue of Scarlet Veronica digitally in about a month. And so we are hoping that's kind of our – that's what we're looking to do. We want to be able to release an issue of an episode of Iota Soul every month. We want to release the first one in September. And that will coincide with a Kickstarter that we're going to do really – get everything started get everything just going. Yeah.
So you are going to create a Kickstarter?
Yeah, we are going to do a Kickstarter.
But that Kickstarter hasn't been started yet, correct? You have
not yet. Nope.
Well, when you get that Kickstarter started, you have to let me know so I can promote it a little bit for you.
Yeah, I absolutely will. And it's going to coincide with the first issue. We actually want to release the first issue first because we want people to see that we don't want to charge for the comic itself. We really don't want to. We want it to be free because we are wanting to get the information out there from a standpoint of just we want to raise awareness. We want to help, you know. So it's not about making money. But anyway, once we do that, we're hoping that by December we can have an issue every month starting in December.
Right. Well,
so that's kind of our where we're at.
At one issue per month, you're at least as fast as the manga artists in Japan, and that's the active ones. So some of those manga artists like to, take their sweet time. You'll get even two or even 3 months in between manga. So that's a nice release schedule. So just looking at the art of the manga, there are some anime that I think that I have a feeling that you draw inspiration from, but I don't want to speak for you. So are there any, you said you're a fan of the medium. So are there any particular manga or anime that you're drawing artistic inspiration or influence from when you create Iota Soul?
Sure. I'm inspired by a lot of different places. And I had to work actually pretty hard at really getting an authentic anime style down, because I do come artistically, although I've been watching anime for a long time, artistically I come from much more of an American vibe because I'm American. And
me too.
And yeah, really, I couldn't tell. I've been reading a lot of Naruto, and really looking at Naruto and looking at, I like the style. I like the look of the characters. And it has a fun vibe, and that's really what I want to go for, is like a shonen look, like a real fun look. And so Naruto's one. Bleach, obviously, especially with Johnny being on board. I'm like, I'm going to go back and watch Bleach again because, well, talking to Johnny, he's got me jazzed. Bleach, and I really like Trigun is one of my favorites, actually. Actually, Trigun is probably my favorite anime, hands down. And so those are some of the ones that I'm really inspired by. Is there something else that you saw that you want to ask?
Nope. Actually, the anime that I was thinking of when I asked you the question was Naruto. I thought maybe that was where you were drawing your especially in the logo for the manga.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, Tony, Bradshaw, he's huge Naruto fan, just giant. And so he kind of got me onto it. I said, the art looks great, but I don't want to watch it. And then he was like, you got to take the first season and just watch it. And so I did. And I was like, this is good, actually.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm actually inspired by some older stuff. I'm older. I'm 33. So, I'll be honest. And as I'm sure some people are going to be like, oh gosh, but, man, Dragon Ball, I can't help it. I was a teen in the 90s and a kid in the 80s and Dragon Ball used to play on the original Dragon Ball, the first series. It used to play every day, like right as soon as I got home from school, it'd be on. And I was like, this is crazy. This is cool. And so Dragon Ball definitely is a big thing for me. And like I said, I'm more drawn to the shonen style, and it's kind of the shonen style.
Pretty much everybody who works on this podcast is a fan of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. I have sitting directly in front of me, I've got a 12-inch standing Super Saiyan Goku that has hair that is spiky enough that I could literally like stab someone with it.
Oh,
and,
man.
Do some damage. And then I've got a stack of Dragon Ball themed sodas that I purchased in Japan and got them back, and they have like Krillin or Garlic Jr. or whoever on the front. So
yeah.
Well, Jason, I appreciate you giving me your time today to talk about your project. I'm looking forward to your Kickstarter, and I'm sure you'll have no problem getting the funding that you need on Kickstarter, considering how awesome the work that you've already done looks. And one more time, do you wanna tell everybody where they can, where are the starting points where people can get in touch
absolutely.
With your content?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you very much. I appreciate it, man. I thank you for having me on, and I'm honored. And
no problem
and,
at all.
Very, very gracious. And yeah, so you can go to iotasoul.com. That's where we're going to be doing contests. We actually gave away 5 t-shirts just this past Thursday, for people that came on, and basically all you had to do was comment on a blog post that I put up. I said the first 5 people that comment get a free t-shirt. And then if you follow me on Twitter, it's just iotasoul. I'm doing free sketches and linking you to contests on the website. And so that's kind of that side. If you want to really know the mission and the heart and kind of see an example of what the Ocean comic is going to be like, go to iotasoul.info.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I am looking forward to maybe talking to you again in the future, and I wish you all the best.
So, thank you very much, man.
And we'll talk to you again. Thanks for coming on.
All right.